Before we jump into look at the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, you can open your Bibles to that. I just wanted to sort of fill you in with Chris and Jade last week. They had a great time visiting our community. It's great for me to watch our church welcome them warmly, interact with them. They also wanted me to share that they now have a house. So we've been praying for them to have a house for a few weeks. God gave them a house on Monday, so now they can clear-headed begin to plan to join us in what is only about 5 or 6 weeks' time. So thanks for your prayers for them. Please continue to pray for them and their kids as they prepare to move down here. We look forward to welcoming them officially on Vision Sunday on the 5th of February next year. Before we begin, looking at the shepherds, let's pray together again to this living God of ours. Father, we thank you that we can gather. We thank you that on that night in Bethlehem, you sent angels to shepherds to interpret the things that were going on, to make an announcement of good news of great joy. Father, as we spend this time together now, I pray that you would take my words and that you would make them live by your Spirit in people's hearts and in their lives. Help them to understand and enjoy what it was that happened that night and that what that means for us tonight and all the nights of our lives here. Amen. So as a kid, I loved being a shepherd in the nativity play. Who wouldn't want to be a shepherd? Tea towel on your head, held down by some sort of belt or strap or something like that. You get to carry a stick, perhaps even has a hook on it. You get to wear a dressing gown in church. Who wouldn't want to be a shepherd? Shepherds are very exciting things. This year, as we lead up to Christmas for the next few weeks, we're going to look at some of the characters who were there in the Christmas story, or at least who were there in our nativity scenes over the couple, the probably 2 or so years that takes place. What did it mean for them to see their Saviour or to see the Saviour? What did those characters not want to miss? A lot of the Christmas story may well be familiar to you, and that includes the shepherds. But why did God choose shepherds? Why are they the ones that are the first to hear? I don't think it's because they make for cool characters in a Sunday school story, although they do. But of all the occupations that existed, why shepherds? Of all the people that were on the earth at the time Jesus was born, why was it shepherds that God chose as the first ones to hear? Something about what they heard captured their attention so much that they were desperate to find out. What was it that they heard that made them bubble over in anticipation, desperate to hear see what the angels had said? Why shepherds? The message of Christmas is that the eternal Son of God stepped into our world, the world he created, into the earthy world of the shepherds, to be their Saviour. And there is something beautiful and profound about it being shepherds that are the first to hear. Our big idea today is that Jesus became like the shepherd, became human like the shepherds, for the shepherds and for us. As we remove the tea towels, as we scratch away the surface of the things that we think we know about this, we're going to peer into why this left them astonished and praising God. Those who were the first to welcome God's Son tell us a lot about the welcome of God to us. The angel had a specific message for the shepherds that day, a specific sign. And so therefore today the shepherds become a sign for us. Now whether you've heard this story 100 times or this is the first time you're encountering it, whether you know this baby personally or whether you're still trying to figure out what you think of him, I'm glad that you're here. As we look at the shepherds, I hope that you see something of great joy for the shepherds for us and for all the people. So let's jump in and have a look. The first thing to notice about the shepherds is that they were the first people to know, the first people to hear. Have a look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." So we're told two things about these shepherds. They were living out in the fields, and they participated in watches in the night. What we're not told about the shepherds, because all the original readers knew, is that they were a fairly despised group of people. They were thought about, I guess, in the terms of tax collectors and gamblers in people's minds. Now, those who walked the dusty streets of Palestine knew that shepherds were poor. They had this reputation for confusing the difference between mine and yours as they nomadically moved around the countryside. This nomadic life and the fact that they were often away and also their low reputation meant that they weren't able to be legal witnesses in court matters. So when you think about the shepherds and you think about the God who had all of human history to plan for this specific moment, it does seem an odd choice for God to make for his first witnesses. And I want you to have a think about the shepherds on that night. Shepherd ties up his cloak around his waist, kisses his wife gently on the cheek as he turns on the dirt floor, and his dusty feet begin to plod the streets of Bethlehem. Staring out through the ever-increasing darkness, he spots a friend of his and carefully picks his way out to the fields. Murmuring a short greeting, he begins to take his spot on the watch. It's all pretty ordinary. It's nothing remarkable about it. It's just a job, just another night. Nothing special about this one in particular at all. One of many nights for an unremarkable guy. Terrifyingly, though, the monotony is broken by the appearance of this angel. Blazing light pierces into this human darkness. The splendor of the Lord surrounds them. I don't think he saw it coming. Good news cracks into the ordinary. A child has been born specifically and personally for you, for the shepherds, and then for all the people, including those who sit here today. Two epic paradoxes are taking place in this moment. First, in the midst of what must have been total and utter fear and terror, is the announcement of good news of great joy. This messenger, although frightening, doesn't come to bring fear, but good news. The announcement of the presence of God in the shepherd's world. Secondly, this child could not be described in more extravagant terms. He is the Savior of the people, the Messiah and Lord. God Himself present in this child. It's announced to the lowest, most common of people. The first to hear the message of the birth of Jesus are at the bottom rung of their society. Good news is announced to the poor, Isaiah 61. It's something that is so significant to Jesus' life and ministry that Luke will quote that idea twice in his biography of Jesus. Good news announced to the poor. This child was born for the likes of shepherds, the common people, the poor, the lowly, the rejected. He also came for the rich and the wise, although they're a bit slower on the intake. They probably come 2 years later bringing gold and frankincense and myrrh. God's choice of shepherds is not a mistake. They are a picture of the people God notices. If you've ever felt like an outcast, known the pain of the quiet whispers of the schoolyard or the workplace or the family gathering, if you've ever felt forgotten, ordinary, unnoticed, if your family has lost patience with you in old age, if no one ever visits, if you don't measure up, if your life seems too simple, too poor, too common, look at who God notices. Out of all his options, see who God chose to hear the good news first. The God who notices shepherds can notice you. If this baby is good news for shepherds, he's good news for you. So that's our first thing to notice today. Shepherds are the first to hear. Second thing to notice about the shepherds is that God gave a specific sign for shepherds. God knows them intimately. The visit from the angel was a fearful thing, but it is not the only fearful thing in the story. There's also the fear of visiting the baby. Now, that's not because the shepherds are scared to hold a baby. It's because they won't be welcome. If this baby is going to be the king, if he truly is God's promised Messiah, the parents won't welcome him in. They won't be allowed to come close. So what could possibly convince the shepherds that they will be welcome at the arrival of this king that's been announced? Well, God gives a sign to them in particular. Have a look at verse 12. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. A sign is given specifically for shepherds. Our instinct is to think that this is an extraordinary sign that anyone could notice. Like saying, look for the guy in the orange jacket and the yellow pants. That's not what's going on here. This is a specific sign for the shepherds, because it speaks into their fears. The baby is one of them. He's wrapped in cloths, just like the peasants, including shepherds, wrap their babies for the last 3,000 years in that part of the world. He's lying in a manger. But that manger is not in some outside stable. It's in an ordinary peasant home like theirs. It's a simple one. The animals are present in a separate section but under the same roof. It protects them from theft, but perhaps even more importantly, it adds their body warmth to the heating of the house. This king is not born in a governor's mansion or in some wealthy merchant's guest room. He's born in a humble family home, just like theirs. The sign underlines just how ordinary the things are. And that's really good news for shepherds. Because when they arrive, they won't hear, "Be gone, unclean shepherds," or "How dare you come into the presence of the future king?" They're going to be welcomed. This was their sign. Jesus is one of them. His birth confirms Mary's song that was sung in the previous chapter. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. The God of the universe has fully embraced ordinary humanity. Jesus became human like the shepherds, for the shepherds. The sign for the shepherds becomes a sign for you. Don't let nostalgic views of this story detract from its earthy reality. Jesus became like one of us, human, like us, or perhaps not like us, because he took on a station that we would not accept, so that he could lift up the humble. Welcoming shepherds at his birth is typical of Jesus' life and ministry. Think about the people that Jesus regularly hung out with and associated with. The blind, the unclean, the poor, the outcasts, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the sinners. Jesus has this special relationship with ordinary people. He's tarnished by the association with them, but all he offers them is warmth and welcome. The God who brought about Christmas didn't remain distant from the brokenness experienced by humanity. He didn't step back and say, "Ooh, that's gross." He stepped into it. He became fully human like us, with sin the only exception. And in his purity, he didn't shut out the unclean, the tax collectors, the shepherds, or you. You are welcome with him. He invites shepherds to come and see. He invites you in, into relationship, into his family, forever. The God who gives a sign to shepherds cannot exclude you because of your mess. He will not step away from you in your ickiness. Those God invites in, he will never turn away. God the Father sent his Son into the world so that through him you might receive the welcome of God. A welcome that you could never expect or be entitled to. A welcome into his family by his Spirit. Forever. And so then thirdly, the shepherd's response is exactly what we would expect. Let us go and see. Have a look at verse 13. What do they do? Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appear with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. The urgency is palpable. They are in a hurry. It's like me trying to get the kids out of the house when we're late to something, potentially on a Sunday morning. Come on, hurry up, let's go. Let's get there. They are utterly compelled to visit because of this special heavenly army, and also because what the Lord has made known. It cannot be missed. They have to find out if these incredible claims are true. So Some of you here this morning might be sharing the shepherd's wonder. Could these things be true? Could God have broken into our world for people like me? Could I be welcomed by God and not turned away? See the shepherd's desire to find out for what it is. Urgency. Today is the day to know. Investigate it. Because as it turns out, everything was just as the shepherds were told. Have a look at verse 17. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. When the shepherds arrive, they're welcomed in. They're not turned away, but they're listened to with wonder. And the things they're saying aren't the usual things we say when we see a baby. Oh, what a cutie. What amazing eyes. No, they say, angels told us to find you. This baby is Christ the Lord. He's going to be a saviour. Now, without the announcement of the angels, all of it would be utterly ridiculous that an ordinary cloth-wrapped newborn in this humble house was Emmanuel, God with us. And yet these shepherds are babbling on, speaking with such confidence. Did they make it up? Well, how could they? They've arrived here. It's astonishing. It all comes from a heavenly messenger. God himself is interpreting these events for us. So what do you do with everything that you've heard and in your mind's eye seen? Well, consider the responses in this account. Consider the messengers. Ironically, the shepherds who are disqualified for being legal witnesses in court are qualified by God to be his first witnesses. And I don't think they waited to be asked. They excitedly make this child known to the amazement of all who hear. God uses people as they are, starting with the most unimpressive and irrelevant people. If you feel ill-equipped, if you feel as though you need an expert to explain this stuff, consider the shepherds. Consider the fishermen God used later on. As a practical first step, find someone in this room and tell them what amazed you or got your attention today. Let what's impacted your heart reach your lips. Spread the word. And then next, go beyond those who are there. So consider the messengers. Consider the first hearers. It must have sounded utterly ridiculous. Blazing angels. Kings born amongst ordinary presence. God present in our world. Fantastical. Too good to be true. Some might have dismissed them as utterly crazy. And yet I think it's far more likely that they went to check it out anyway. If you're a hearer today, see the Saviour. Ask someone. As a practical first step, chat to the person you came with. Or afterwards, come and chat to me. I've got a Christmas book that I'll be really happy to give you to help you investigate and seek this out further. So consider the first hearers. Consider Mary. Mary's got a lot to think about. Like many parents throughout history, she must have gazed into the sleeping face of her child. overflowing with love as she looked at it and wondering what this child was going to become. The shepherd's predictions would have been utterly ridiculous to hear unless God had already told her the same thing. So she cherishes these words, seeking the right understanding of them in her heart, believing and counting them as treasure. If you've already believed, let these things be confirmation to you as well. Treasure them. Hold them close. As a practical step, write them down. Put them somewhere where you're going to see them this week. Read them. Hold them. Ponder them. Treasure them in your heart. So consider Mary. Consider the shepherds. They depart praising God with joy and enthusiasm. Not joy in themselves. Their humble circumstances are utterly unchanged by this stuff. There is joy, though, in what they have been told. God has broken into their lives. Hope has sprung up and has changed both their present and their future. And notice that their praise, it's not this private, reflective thing. It's public. It's communal. And it's joyful. Sharing it increases the joy and the confidence in the experience of what they've shared. Jesus became human like the shepherds, for the shepherds, and for us. If your heart leaps for joy at what you've heard, praise for God will already be flowing. Don't put the lid on it and keep it private. Let's share it as a community, together, with our lips and with our lives. Amen. Let me pray. Father, what a wonderful privilege it is to reflect on the shepherds, the sort of people that you choose to hear the wonderful news of you entering into our world. It is rightly astonishing for all its humbleness and its ordinariness. You became like us so that you could save us, so that you could know us forever. Father, thank you that you welcome us in. For those here today who haven't known that welcome, who certainly haven't accepted that welcome, invite them in. Call them in to see this thing that they have heard about. For those of us who have believed, who have known, help us to ponder the wonder and not to ponder it with our minds, but to enjoy it with our lips and with our lives in the lead up to Christmas, next year, and all the days we have left. Amen.